The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Thank you for how mighty you are, how great your name is. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst. And we ask this evening that there is a mighty, mighty move of the spirit of revelation that will come, that comes by mighty utterance, by your spirit, in the name of Jesus. We ask and we receive the manifest presence of God in this place, that our lives should not remain the same. Even from this evening henceforth, in Jesus' name we pray. Do you want to shout a bigger amen? Hallelujah. Have your seat. Good evening, everyone. Welcome you to church again. It's such a pleasure to always stand before you. Glory to God. You know, earlier this evening I was just meditating and turning things over in my spirit. And one of the questions I kept asking myself is, why do we come to church? Why do we gather in church? Why do we gather? Why do we have to be here every week? Why do we have to be here almost every day? In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible tells us that he gave some, when he ascended on earth, he led captivity captive. That's verse 8, 9, and 10. And then in verse 11, he said, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And then verse 12 begins to show us why he gave these people. Why he gave some people to be apostles. Why he gave some people to be prophets. He said it is for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. To drive on what I'm saying, it will be good we look at these verses with the New Living Translation. Why do we come to church? You know, is it their responsibility? That is the responsibility of the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, and all of that, is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church. That is the body of Christ. In verse 13, it says, this will continue until we all come, I want you to pay attention to this, until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son. And all that that continued, by the time we get to verse 14, he said that will no longer be children being tossed about by every wind of new doctrine. And verse 15 tells us that we will grow, we'll be able to speak the truth in love. Verse 16 tells us that, you know, God wants to make the whole body fitting perfectly together, that each part is doing their special work. What I'm trying to show you is this. There is something God wants you to become by coming to church. The aim of we coming to church is that God wants you to become something. That's what I'm trying to show you. There is a kind of person you should be becoming if you're coming to church. So the reason we come to church is because God wants you to move from this thing that you are to something else. First of all, when someone is unsaved, God wants that person to move from being a sinner to being saved. That's being a saint. Then, when he becomes a saint, God wants the person to move from being a liar to being someone that now speaks the truth. Someone that was immoral to someone that lives in morality. Someone that was fearful, someone that is now bold. Someone that was not praying to someone that can now pray. There is a kind of person God wants you to become. Are you following what I'm saying? And that is, in a nutshell, why we come to church. God is trying to turn us from something we were to something else he wants us to be. And that process keeps going on in church. So you look at what he wants to do. Go to verse 14. Just verse 14. It says that we henceforth be no more children. What are the signs of children, for instance? Tossed to and fro and carried about by, with every wind of doctrine. Such that you will come to a point, you will no longer be anywhere belly face. Anywhere they say is good, we follow. He wants you to come to a point where you are now established and say, okay, that's the right thing. That is wrong. That is right. That is wrong. At least in doctrine. He wants you to come to a point where you move from being unforgiving to now becoming a forgiving and a kind person. So, point is, God wants you to become something. Which is why the teachings that go on in church must not only center around receiving things from God. Because receiving from God is not the major thing God wants you to become. Receiving prosperity, receiving healing, it's not the only thing. Now, there is also that part. Because God wants you to move from being a sickly child to becoming a healthy child. I get what I'm talking about. He also wants you to move from being broke to becoming rich. But then there are many other things He wants to do for you. He wants you to move from someone who was very ras to someone that is very proper. What this actually means is that when you see someone who has been part of a church and who has really benefited from the church the way he or she should, when he acts, you should be able to know. Because he must have moved from what he used to be to something else. So the plan of God, for instance, for your life, if you're coming to this church, is that 6 months down the line, someone that knew you before should be able to see you act and say, your head is now correct. There is now something about you. That's the plan. And so if there is nothing you are becoming under God, you are actually not maximizing church. Are you getting me? Change must be taking place. You must be moving from this to that. From this to that. Which is why this job is not something that will happen in 6 months or in 8 months. But at least by 6 months or by 10th month, we should be able to start seeing some signs. Initially, she used to be someone that gets very angry easily. But now, in the past few weeks, we've been looking at her. It's like when you provoke her, she's no longer like that. That is something you are becoming under God. Are you following me? She used to be someone that was very fearful. Any small thing that happens, she will freak out and quit. But suddenly, she's not very bold. Did you observe that thing that happened 2 days ago did not shake her up? You are becoming something. And so, as a pastor, what I actually pay attention to is what you are becoming under God. Not necessarily all the activity. So, she used to be a very stingy person. But now she gives much more. What happened to her? Church happened to her. If you do not yet have this kind of testimony, you can power this mic up a little. I'm stretching. If you don't yet have this kind of testimony, then church is not working yet in your life. Are you following me? Are you get what I'm saying? So God wants you to become something. He wants you to grow from this to that. From that to this. So every year, at the end of every year, you should be able to look at yourself and ask yourself, what more did I become under God? How did I change? How did I adjust? What changed in my life? What more adjustment did I make? If year in, year out, there's something you can actually pick out that's shifted in your life, then you're either not coming to church or you're not getting the best of church. Are you following me? That's why I can tell you this for free. Anybody that comes around our ministry that stays and is very committed, comes on Sunday, comes on Thursday, comes on Saturday, keeps coming and coming and coming, and then after 2 years, he is still the way he was, I'll ask him to go. Now, I'm not angrily, I will just simply say, please, find another ministry to join. It's not working. Because there must be something you are becoming under God. Something different about you. And that's why teachings like these that we are doing, for instance, we're now doing Believer's Honor Code. It is because there is a way God wants you to be. It's because when you are interacting with people, there's a way God wants you to be. There's a way people should look at you and say, there's something different about you. Now, if that is not happening in your life, you are not growing. And what that simply means is that church is not working in your life. So honor is a very important thing. The teaching of honor is very important because it is one of those ways that we grow. It is one of those ways that we mature into what God actually wants us to be. Like I was saying on Sunday, it should be that when you enter a church, you know, one of those days, you know, well, let me not tell that story. It should be that when you enter a church, a random church, and they observe you for 1 week or 2 weeks, they should be able to approach you to ask you, which church are you coming from? You sound very different. You look very different. You behave very different. It shows you've been trained. You've learned honor. It should not be that when you enter a church, they're wondering, has this one ever been to church before? You know, when you come to church, let me give an example. When you come to church newly, there are things you can do and will permit you. You know, I used to share this story with you. I read it in a book. Somebody, you know, they went to the street, did evangelism, got someone saved. This guy, before he got saved, he was into drugs, you know, all this kind of, just street boy, we just there. So they got him saved. So he came to church and he was so happy. So as service was closing, they said, who has something to say? He raised up his hand and had something to say. So they gave him the mic. He said, I'm just so, man, this was F good, man. Oh, damn, man. You guys hit it up, man. You know, kind of thing. And the church, they were not angry. You know why they weren't angry? He's just getting saved. He used the F word in church up and down. He said, man, that music, damn. It was, you know, kind of thing. And I turned to the pastor and said, you killed it. You know, after all that drama. Now, do you know, why do we allow that at that point? He's just a new convert. You know what is dishonoring God? Actually, don't talk like that in church. But it was fine. What we now expect is that in 6 months' time, when we give him the mic, he should not keep saying, damn, man, something must have changed. If after 6 months he's still damning everybody, we're in trouble. He means he's not growing. And so my point is, as you're growing up in church, one of the things that will show that you are growing is that you are growing in honor too. Growing in honor. You're becoming more honorable in your speech. So we're looking at it, for instance, how to honor God. You honor God by how you talk. There are people that talk and you can clearly see that they've not been taught. When they talk about God, when they talk about his name. When people just talk about God carelessly, sometimes I want to say, ask them, are you not afraid? You know, God is not going to kill you, but you must reverence God. Let's reverence him. That's the way you don't talk about God. You know, one of the things, you know, I didn't say is one major way you honor the name of God too is that you be careful not to say that God said what he didn't say. You know, it's one of the ways you honor God. I get to the point. One of the ways you honor God. One of the ways you honor the name of the Lord. So, you know, Christians must be very careful with thus says the Lord. You know, be very careful with that. You know, the Lord said to me. You know, the Lord said, you must be very careful with that. So that you do not say what God did not say. That would be a dishonor to his name. To his name. Are you following the point? And it's not even a spiritual thing you have to see from the Bible. It's just very practical. How will you feel if you have two children and there is food and they are meant to share the food together? Maybe I'm talking, they just have one loaf of bread. I'm meant to share it. And it's small. And the other one says to the brother, Daddy said you should give me this bread to eat it alone. And the other one, and you didn't say anything. And the other man just says, why? I don't know. Daddy just said. And you let her find out that he deceived the other person. You know, that person is playing with your name. That's playing with your name, playing with your integrity and everything you stand for. And some people actually do that even in ministry. Ministry is a very interesting place. They will say, have you told pastor? Yes, I told pastor. Pastor said you should do it. My ministers can attest to this. Many things that happen. Say, do pastor. I told pastor, he said go ahead. Sometimes I've never heard about it. We'll get to that much later. That's a very dishonorable thing to do. As soon as when I'm talking to my office, I was like, wow, did I say that? I get it. Sometimes people just tell me things and say, Daddy, I want to do this and this and this. I say, it's okay, I've heard. And they're not going to say, pastor said I should just go ahead. He's even blessed it. I'm very careful. But then that is actually what we do with the name of God when we try to prophesy. Because, you know, that is, apart from prophecy, imagine a young guy is trying to woo a lady and he says, the Lord said. Now you must be very careful. And the problem is, when they say the Lord said, after saying the Lord said, 2 months down the line in the relationship, that are reconciling. Sometimes you just want to ask them, why don't you say the Lord said? There are things you must be very careful with. It's a dishonor to the name of the Lord. Let me even say this to you. Of course, it's almost the same thing, but let me say this to you. It is better that when you want to talk, you say, I perceive. I'm telling you for real. That is always the same thing, you know, but it's just better you say, so I just perceived in my spirit. That keeps you safe. So that, that for real. I perceive in my spirit that we should just do this. Until you are very certain that the Lord said. So that you are sure it's not the emotions you're playing with. Because in the Old Testament, anybody caught saying what God did not say in the name of the Lord, they stoned the person to death. Go read your Bible. See, any prophet that says, I say, I saw, or I see, and eventually they find that the Lord did not say, they will stone you to death. Because that's a big dishonor to the name of the Lord. That's why pastors must be careful too. It's better I come out and tell you, hello guys, I want us to buy a bus that will be transporting people from their location to this place. And I encourage you, this is very important because God wants to do great things through us. Let's buy this bus. You know, that's okay. But then to come out and say, I was praying last night and the Lord said to me, my son, you need a boss. That will be trying to use the Lord to manipulate people. Now, if God actually said that, say the Lord said. But be sure he said. Be sure he said. Because I've seen people use the name of the Lord to manipulate people. Both pastors and non-pastors. And non-pastors. Husband and wife in their relationship. The lady has been thinking about how to convince the husband for them to do this particular thing. And she knows this husband is a man that fears the Lord. So sort of, if I tell him, he may say no. But if I tell him that as I was praying, the Lord said to me, he cannot say no. Be very careful. You are playing with the name of the Lord. You're a very dishonorable person. Are you following me? You should be afraid to say, thus says the Lord. Are you not afraid? Do you know who the Lord is? You must be afraid to say, the Lord said. You guys are very bold. Many Christians are very bold. Too bold for their own good. So that you can say what God did not say. Something you shouldn't even say about your father or anybody to say what they didn't say. You know what it means for a pastor to climb the stage and say what God did not say? What it means is the governor sent you to go represent him in an event and you got there and you told them that the governor said he will give 20 million. Whereas the governor said, just tell them I'm going to give 2 million or just tell them I will get back to them. Do you understand? You now get that carry back and say, you know, I'm here for the governor. He said, I'll give 20 million. Most times you will pay it by yourself. You pay it by yourself. And that's what it looks like for a pastor to climb the stage and begin to tell the people, the Lord said he's changing your level. Whereas he didn't say anything. Now you have to change that level by yourself. Because God didn't say any of those things. Now when there is no such word coming from the Lord and a pastor has climbed the stage, what do you do? That is something God has already said in his word. Open the Bible, preach the word to them. And that should suffice. Are you what I'm talking about? Just preach the word to them. Read it to them. The Bible is the Bible. The word of God is true forever. Be sure you have a word from God before you say you have a word from him. So the measures you dishonor the Lord. Say what he did not say. I don't even know who is putting you under that kind of pressure. Because it just has to be pressure that will make you do that. Who is putting on that kind of pressure? They say, share a word with someone. We are doing Holy Ghost meeting or believers meeting. Tell your neighbor something. Say, thus says the Lord. By this time next we'll be married. Ah. You have to be very sure. You have to be very, very, very sure. Very, very, very sure. And I share this story. And it actually happened. Those days, like prayer team then, there was a little strife. Just little strife in our prayer team. Strife is not little. I'm just saying little strife. It's little because it was subtle. Nobody was saying it, but it was there. So they were fighting. We normally organize vigils, and they were fighting for who we preach in the vigils. I wish my brother was here now. He knows the story very well. They used to fight who we preach in the vigils. And for some reason, I was the people's favorite, so they wanted me to preach. So when the next vigil was coming, there were some other people that wanted to preach. Very disorderly place anyway. There were some other people that wanted to preach in that vigil. And they couldn't have come out to say, well, we want to preach. So they now said, well, that we have to. Then I said, before any big vigil we hold, that we should actually pray and ask the Lord to speak to us and tell us who we preach. I told them, well, this doesn't make sense. I was very small, but I had small sense. I said, let's just tell us, okay, do you want to preach? Then I said, no, it's not like I want, who even wants to preach? I just want us to ask the Lord to be sure. I said, okay. We came for the prayer meeting before the very big vigil. And I said, let us pray for, we're going to pray. Father, speak to us. Who will speak to us? One of the people. One of those ladies just jumped up. Real life story. I'm not joking, no. And fell down. And the guy just came, and I said, ah, the Lord said, my servant, Bro Henry, we preach. I started laughing. You know why I started laughing? I knew. So after the whole thing, I went outside. So I called her. I said, ah, sister, God really told you that. She kept quiet. I said, did God really tell you that? She said, well, I knew what they were trying to do. And I know you're the person that should preach. So I just said, the Lord, I said, ah, you are very bold. You are too bold for your future. I get the point. Now, I laughed, dude. I shouldn't have laughed. But it was really, I just knew it was going to happen. To start, that's not how God even speaks to a people. Let's even keep that. Let me tell you, if God is going to tell someone something about the next phase of this church, he won't tell you. He will tell me. God is simply a God of order. If God wants to tell us that it's time for us, now God can show that to you. But even if you tell it to me, I should not act on it until God says it to me and confirms it to me. Because that's why I'm the leader of the church. So imagine we're hosting ResoFact. I say, let us pray and ask the Lord who we preach. And maybe that this is your brother has been telling you that he really wants to preach. He really wants to preach. You just say, let's, as you say, Shaka, Roko, Reke, Reke, hey, ya, Gaga. Brother, who now? Huh? Bremeri. Glory to God. That's some boldness for real. That's some boldness that you shouldn't have. Right? I'm not saying you should be afraid of God, but you should be afraid to say he said when he didn't say anything. And I told the girl, I said, do you know? I didn't know grace. So I was very young. I didn't know anything about gospel. I told her, see, do you know? It was the Old Testament. God will strike you dead. And I told her, I said, next time you try that, God will strike you dead. Yes, I told her. She said, I'm telling you. And I wasn't threatening. I would say what I knew. Well, I've read the Bible. Do you know what it means? God said, I said, God will strike you. You will die. I said, you want to fail your work? You fail. That was the level of my knowledge then. But then it was good. I said, what the fellow, you open your mouth to say God said. After that program, I made her openly tell the whole prayer team that God didn't say that. Yes. Say amen. You have to openly tell the prayer team that God, how can you say God said? People are bold though. People are confident and courageous. Even at this point, it took me time. It took a lot of lessons on spiritual boldness for me to be able to openly tell people, thus says the Lord. Do you know what that is? I'm not saying you should be afraid of speaking when the Lord has spoken, but at least be sure he spoke. Because even as small as I am, if you imagine you just go tell someone, pastor said you are suspended. Or pastor said you should wear this. Pastor said, and I rather find that I didn't say that. I'll just feel you know, rate me. That's big dishonor. Don't you think so? That's big dishonor. And so, please, that should be put into consideration. We're talking about honoring the name of the Lord. Is it dishonor to the name of the Lord to say what he did not say? So, say what God said. Amen. Now, so, we've said a lot about honoring God's name, honoring God. You know, we've also talked about church. So when we gather, we might touch it again today. When we gather in church like this, how you behave in church is a testament to how much honor you have to the name, towards God. And so when you are coming to church and you act carelessly, you operate your phone while you are in church, it just shows you are a dishonorable person. It means you do not honor the name of the Lord. If you are in church and you can walk in anytime you like, act anyhow you like, you know, it's not that, when we get to that, I'm going to show you, it's not just a dishonor to the name of the Lord. It's also a dishonor to us. It's also dishonoring us. We are gathered. Hallelujah. And that's why I talk because people say, in church, people should respect people. Well, we should respect you, but you too respect the church. Right? I know we should celebrate you, but you too respect the church. Respect our gathering. Respect the fact that we are here. Respect the church. There is honor for the Lord's house. There is a way you don't behave when we gather. There are things you don't say when we gather. There are ways you do not act when we gather. For instance, the time for the teaching of the word is not a time to walk up and down, to be walking as though you forgot yourself at home. That's not a time. It's a time to sit, to be very, there are places, I can tell you, there are places that I've gone to preach, or you can even go to preach. You will struggle to flow because there is so much disorder in the place. You are preaching, people are discussing. And let me say something to you. Anything we set aside and we honor, God will honor that thing with his manifest presence. And it's actually truth. Anything we honor, God honors with his manifest presence. God honors. So you must honor the Lord. And that's why, now, do you ask yourself, that's why, even though God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. God is in the bear parlor. God is in the clubhouse. God, but you can never feel the presence of God in the clubhouse the way you feel it inside this church. Why? We set this place apart for the Lord. We set this time apart for the Lord. I know what I'm talking about. God is omnipresent. He's actually anywhere. He's in Aso Rock. He's everywhere. But because that place is just a marketplace, he's in the marketplace. He's in every shopping mall. God is everywhere. But you cannot have his tangible manifest presence there like you will have it here. Why? We set this time, this place aside. That's why meetings like Resofact, Zoe, those kind of meetings that are camp meetings, where we remove everything and just come and camp, the kind of things that happens there are much more than what happens in our regular church meetings, because we set those 4 days apart. I get what I'm talking about. That's why as the Lord prospers us, one of the things that God is going to do for us here is that after we're done with our church building, much more when the Lord leads us, we're going to have a campground. That will have accommodation, that will have where people can, we can actually come in. If we have 4 days meeting, we come and camp. If you ever gone to those kind of camp meetings where you really, one of the biggest, you know, we have conferences, you know, in Champions Foundation. One of the best conferences we ever had in Champions Foundation was Doxa 2017. How many of you attended Doxa 2017? That, if you don't remember, it happened at AKUD. That, you know what that meeting was powerful? It happened in a village. You have nowhere to go to. Nothing is in strike. There is no shopping mall. There is nothing. If you see this village, blessed village, blessed. But if you get to the place, you go to the place, Daniel Retreat Center, beautiful place, oh, but it's in a village anyway. So before, the closest place to town or what have you was maybe 9 miles or so. Everybody that came for that meeting went home blessed. It was, you will sit in the place. Even if you decide to sleep inside your room, you will be hearing us in your room. The way the place was built. That kind of separated time, God must honor those moments. That's why retreats are powerful. That's why sometimes you shut down everything you're doing and go on retreats 3 days just praying. The kind of things you will hear. The kind of things that happen to you, come back blessed because you honor that moment. You separated it. God always honors everything you separate unto him with his manifest presence. Always. Always. And that's why if you separate a time to pray in your room where nothing will distract you, that's why, you know, God will come. You will feel good. You will talk to God. It's not this time you are reading your Bible, you are checking Facebook, you are reading your Bible, you are checking Instagram, you are replying to church, you are reading your Bible. You are not going to get the best. Honor the Lord. And that's why in this place, if we are going to see that there's always a move of God here, this place must be treated with utmost honor. Everything can just go on here. Why didn't Jesus allow them to buy and sell in the temple? He said, my house shall be called house of prayer. Somebody may argue, can't they finish praying in the morning and will sell in the afternoon? Does it matter? It matters. That place is consecrated unto the Lord and must be celebrated so. And so when you walk into this place, you've not just come into anywhere. You've not. It's not everything that can go on. It's not everything you can say. Why do you think that people fall sick. You may say they don't have knowledge, what have you. But people fall sick or have challenges and rush to a certain altar, as they call it, or stage where a man of God stays to preach, lay their hands there and pray, and they go with their testimony. That place is hallowed. It is separated. It is set apart. And God honors such things. And have I seen such things happen? I have. Better don't doubt it. I have. Praise God. So you must honor the Lord. We've seen that again and again. Now, let's begin to talk about honoring men. Okay? A general rule when it has to do with honoring men is the fact that you should honor men. Hear what I'm going to say. Because of who sends them or where they come from or who they come from. You know, in John chapter 23, Jesus, chapter 5 rather, not 23, John chapter 5, verse 23. Jesus said something. He said that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father who sent him. So he's saying, if you dishonor Jesus, you are dishonoring the Father that sent him. We're going to come to this text again and again. This is actually why we honor men of God. Because if you dishonor a man of God, you are dishonoring who sent him. Are you following what I'm talking about? So when you honor someone, you're not just honoring the person, you're honoring where he came from. Do you know that if I go for an outside meeting now to go and preach, and those people treat me anyhow, do you know they've dishonored you and everything will stand fast, platform of grace? Because you dishonored our pastor. That's what it means. And so in discussing honor that is due men, you must first think of where are they coming from. And that's why I'm going to just say a little about why you must honor all men. One major reason you honor all men is that men are a creation of God. All men are not sons of God, quite all right, but all men are God's creation. God created everyone. And so there is a certain kind of honor you must give to every man everywhere because they were made by God. That's an honor that everyone everywhere deserves. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17. The apostle Peter was writing and he said, honor all men. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God and all of that. So, honor all men. Honor everyone. Glory to God. NLT said, respect everyone. Respect everyone. Respect every man. Amplified Classic said, show respect for all men. Treat them honorably. Treat them honorably. So there is a way to treat everyone you come across. You know, Message Bible is interesting. He said, treat everyone you meet with dignity. Everyone you meet with dignity. And I'm going to tell you why. Because they are God's creation, first of all. And you know, because they are God's creation, and that is why you should honor men. Yes, they are God's creation. But let me say a few more things. There is a value that God has placed on every human being. And whoever God has placed value on, you too must place value on them. Please know what I'm talking about. For instance, the soul of man or the soul of a man is so important to God that he died. I was thinking about it. If Jesus thinks that a man is valuable enough for him to die for the person, why would you look down on anybody? If Jesus thinks a man is valuable, you know, in Matthew 16 and verse 16, Jesus was talking. I want to read it with New Living Translation. Sorry, not verse 16, verse 26. Matthew 16 and verse 26. Jesus said, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? He said, is anything worth more than your soul? So he's saying the soul of a man is worth more than every other thing. It's worth more than money. It's worth more than silver. And that was why he died for all men. Christians have to realize that Jesus died for all men. He didn't die for Christians alone. And if he died for all men, it means all men are valuable to him. If he died for all men, it means all men are important to him. And so,
if God values the soul of man like that, values men like that, you too must place the same value and the same honor on them. You know, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us about how that Jesus died for everyone. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. Verse 14, he said, for the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live. You notice he keeps saying he died for all. So he didn't die for some. Do you get what I'm talking about? He died for all men. For all men. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, it retraces the fact that Jesus died for all men. He's the propitiation propitiation for our sins, but not for us only, but for also for the sins of the whole world. So Jesus died for the whole world. And if he thinks that the whole world is valuable enough for him to die for them, then there is a certain kind of honor or respect or dignity you should treat everybody you meet with, no matter who they are, whether they are rich, whether they are poor, whether they are governors, whether they are just people on the street, you treat them with honor. And this is not some motivational speaking. This is God's word being taught. It's a major sign of spiritual maturity, how you interact with people you meet, even if you don't know them. Major sign. You know, some people just get into your DM sometimes. I don't know you. You don't know me from nowhere. And then you come up and say, hey, bro. What do you mean by hey, bro? Who said I'm your bro? Let me give you a very general rule. Anybody you don't know very well, he is sir or ma. No matter the age. Anybody, it's just me. Anybody, even when people meet me, good evening, man of God. I say, good evening, sir. Now, sir is just a word. I don't know you, so I have to treat you with honor, with dignity. That's the way you treat all men. That's the way you treat all men. And I'm saying this, you know, James was talking about this. I think it's James chapter 3 or so, you know, where he was talking about the fact that if someone enters your meeting, let me look. Give me that verse. If someone enters your meeting and is not looking so good, try and find that verse for me. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So that is an honor that is due all men. Let me get that. Okay. Have you seen it? Give me a minute. We'll find it. There's a teaching meeting, so. Okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think I'm very close to it. Okay, James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. Okay, I think chapter 2 from verse 2. He said, give me NLT. He said, for example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, you can stand over there or else sit on the floor. He said, well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? You know what he's saying? You should treat everybody with respect, not because of what they're wearing, but because they are first of all human beings. And that is one of the things that the ushers, the greeters of any church must learn. That people, of course, our church, we know it very well here. So I'm not, this is not teaching to them. They know it. Amen. But that's why when you go to a church, because some people think that when you go to a church and they welcome you very well, it's because you are the president or because they take you have money. That's not why.
Whether you think you are broke or you are rich or what have you, the same way we collect the bag of the rich, he said, we're going to collect the bag from the poor. The same honor, the same dignity. To start with, Jesus died for them. And one of the major ways you show honor to everyone is courtesy. Courtesy. You know what's courtesy? Say courtesy demands. All those that courtesy demand. Simple. Such that when you want to get into a vehicle, you are not talking to the conductor like a mad person. Because you feel, it's not just a conductor. Come on, look at my children, you foolish man. What brought foolishness here? It's just a sign that you've not been well trained. And you see those people, they look at the conductor, come and give my change, idiot. And they turn, who is standing there? Is their minister in church. They are celebrating Uma. You're not an honorable person. You are not. Before you begin to celebrate them, Ma, honor all men. Are you following what I'm talking about? Such that people that say things like, I can talk to anybody. You know me, you know they had me for mouth. Have you followed anybody talk? You are a baby. You're a baby. You should hard you for mouth. There are things you should not be able to say to just anybody. Of course, to your pastor, to your minister, to your husband or your wife, there is much more honor that you must give them. Understandable. But I'm just saying, the fact that you just meet people on the road, that's just simple courtesy. And I can tell you, every time I do this, casually, people are amazed. And if you press, you would have known. And they just manifest simple courtesy. I went to buy something. It's not a regular kind of place I would normally enter. But something just made me enter there to go and buy some. You know this kind of bars where people just, very somehow place. So I requested for what I wanted to buy. And then I waited for them. And they gave it to me. And they just gave it to me. And I said, I transformed myself. Have you seen the money? They said, thank you. And they said, sir. Okay, it's again. I said, thank you. They said, did they do anything to you? I said, no, you just received my payment and you gave me what I wanted. They were discussing till I left. The other one said, if you see a proper gentleman, you will know. So I had to walk very fast. But I tell you, and I wasn't saying thank you because of anything. It's just what I said, courtesy demands. Right? Now, this is just honor due to women. I don't know them. And let me say, and I wanted to say this later, but let me say it. One of the major benefits of being an honorable person is favor. People will easily favor you if you know how to treat everybody with honor. And that's one thing. Some people that work, maybe that serve the public, you're a fuel pump attendant, you work with customer service, you must realize that. There are sometimes you go to buy things from some of these shopping malls and the sellers are fighting with you and didn't say anything to them. But personally, when I go to buy things from anywhere, I must try to lighten up the mood. I'll just say something. How are you doing? Looking very fine. It's just me everywhere. How is work treating you guys? Sometimes you're even trying to make these people happy and they are just giving you. Sir, please, what do you want? Thank you. Is it me that employed you? What was the problem? You know, courtesy, respect, kindness to all. Such that even though I know when it has to do with the sense, we should defer to the sense the more. We should show more kindness to the sense. But at least there's a general kindness that everybody around you deserves. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry. Please. Basic things. And you look at Paul the Apostle and all the apostles. You know, I think we might get to that today. When he was addressing Festus, he called him most noble Festus. You look at how the believers in the Bible, they were not some kind of rash people who could just say anything and act carelessly. And it's good we are teaching honor for all men because this is our Gen Z generation. Who just want to talk to anybody? I want to say it again. If you meet someone you've never met before and you really don't know, greet them as sir or ma, no matter their age. One is a way you honor them, but let me even add something. You really don't know people. Most times, your destiny helpers don't look like it. I'm telling you. They don't look like it. And there are people that have a habit
of dishonoring you. And I'm going to say to you, your brother, your sister, hear what I'm going to say. You're dating or you're courting someone who is very respectful to you, but to you alone, that is problem. He or she only respects you. But when they meet other people, they are fire. But when they see you, and you're even bragging with it, I'm the only one that can calm her down. Once I'm around, she'll be calm. You don't realize you're the only one that can calm her down because love still there, Shakuna. When the love clear, you see that, when the love clear, that thing she's doing to that conductor, you are coming, your portion is coming. And for it, somebody close to me told me, that's how we entered a relationship that would have started. They were just doing talking stage. They went out, sat down somewhere just to eat, and then the waiter just made a mistake. And this girl shouted, even slapped the waiter. But, and the guy is not, he's not even born again, doesn't have a chill. He just got up, packed his things, and went, left. He was like, what's come now? Didn't you see? So you're taking sides with her? He just left. That was the end. There are still friends, but nothing can happen. Nothing can happen. Because sometimes you have to realize people don't have to be big to deserve your honor. People don't have to be big to deserve your respect. And again, this is not just giving you advice. This is Bible I'm showing you. Again, remember, why do we honor men? God honors them. God values them. God thinks they were good enough to take his son to the cross. That is something. And this teaching is not meant to condemn you. It's meant to make you readjust. Begin to practice it from today. Begin to practice it from today. You step out. You see random people. Even when you've made a mistake, you know, these days we even teach greeting. Greeting. I don't know where this generation went. You see people older than you, cannot greet them. You can't just, good evening. Good evening. How hard is that? How hard is that? And when we try to teach these things, people think we're trying to control people. Let us all be free. After all, in the Western world, they call their mothers by their name. Go to the Western world. And every wise person from that Western world, whenever they come here, they always tell us, don't copy us. Yes, one of the Shilohs that they brought a guest minister from outside, just came here and said, people should not try to do what we do. He said, we have lost it. We should come and learn from you people. That's why you look at your mother that I gave birth to, call her Cynthia. Well, it's okay. I don't know the kind of mother you have, but you should die that day. Should die. They should cut off your head. Please have some boldness. Greet. Respect. Right? You're talking to someone that is older than you. Put some respect to their name. Put some respect. Sir, ma. It's just a basic way to show. Remember I told you, in church, there is a kind of person you should be becoming. So that when you act this way, they will say, who is this one? Where are you coming from? Who taught this one? Who trained this one? Who influenced this one? I get the point. Now, I know there are some workplaces where it is compulsory that you call everybody by their first name. You know, there's workplaces like that. They say, whether the manager or anybody called it. Well, if that's what they do, it's their business. You do what they do. You know what I mean? It's very hard for me. Or some old man and say, James. It's very hard. It's very hard. But there should be some kind of respect. And it shows you're well trained. You know, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 1. He told him, treat the elders. Rebuke not an elder, but treat him as a father. So he said, there is a respect that people should get just because they are older. Now, this our church, I passed some of our people, some people that come around here are older and all of that. You can be confident that the day your father or your mother comes here, and I get to meet him, I'm not going to tell him hi. No, I'll greet your dad or your mom properly. And that's not just because I'm just a Christian. Before I became a man of God, I'm a Christian. And a proper Christian is taught to respect elders. Are you what I'm talking about? Yeah. And it's not possible for someone that is elderly to come into this church and fault me and say, that guy doesn't respect me. It's not possible. It's not possible. Just now, rebuke not an elder. In treat him as a father, the younger men as brethren. So someone is younger as brethren.
Next verse, verse 2.
He said, the elder women as mothers. Now, as mothers, he's not saying every elderly woman is your mother. But treat them as mothers. The same kind of respect. Right? The same kind of regard. I'm going to give your mom. There is a younger as sisters with all purity. With all purity, sir. We'll get to that later. So that is a mark of dishonor for you as a brother to think that every sister in church, you have to harvest them. A dishonorable thing to do. There are sisters with all purity. Say amen. So that is a way to treat people when you meet them. Learn what I'm saying. Online, on ground, everywhere. Everywhere. These days when I see people talk, you see people come to comment session. And they are talking to someone that if they see face to face, they cannot stand. Let me tell you, some of you are talking to on Facebook. The day you will see them, you will melt. Now, leave all this your grandgrand. There's somebody I cannot talk before. There are people you cannot talk before. The presence alone that comes, not presence of God, the presence, the aura they come with the security man that will stand beside them. You cannot talk to them. You cannot. I saw a young man do a video. He titled it, My Advice to David Oyedepo. I say, Jesus. Man, you know, there are certain audacities you spell with O. Not with A-U. That's audacity. That one is too good for your health. It's too good for your future. Are you following what I'm talking about? With all purity. Honor, respect, glory to God. You know, I say this all the time. So what if people get on my nerves? One of the general things you know about me, if you get on my nerves, if you step on my, I'm not, because when I'm teaching honor, I'm not saying you should become a coward. No, I'm not a coward. If you do something that I want to tell you, I'm going to tell you boldly. Right? And one of those days, we had an issue with the barrister of this building. And they've been doing things for long. They've just been doing things. And whenever they do things, I just allow them. My people will be like, Pastor, what do we do? I say, just let them be. And that very day, they did something else. And I felt that was a case of intimidation. And you guys were here in church. Saturday worker stuff. And were in the office. And I just slammed my table and stood up. When I stood up, everybody stood up. They didn't even know what happened to them. I spoke to the man that day. I spoke to man. Look at it. I'm not saying, when we're talking about honor, I'm not saying you should just take whatever. But one thing you will notice, I can express my displeasure, but you will never hear a curse word. You will never hear me say, you are an idiot. You will not say you're a crazy. Mm-mm. I get what I'm saying. I don't like what you did. That's not how things are done. We had an agreement. You breached the agreement. That's not we'll do this. And we are not happy about that. And if you really want to take this up, we are going to take it up with you. That's what I was talking. I said, bring your legal team. We're going to bring our legal team. He said, sorry. But you know, another thing is, he later told me, he said, throughout our interaction, you've been very proper, very orderly, very respectful. Anything that made you speak like that day was something. Are you good what I'm talking about? But we're naturally already a very brutal person. If you get the point, when you're even shouting, nobody's looking at you. Nobody say, that's how he talks. Don't worry. When he's done, you keep quiet. Just let him be talking. That's an honor that every man deserves. Every man. Such that if you are in a church and your pastor is, and this is just Christian life, your pastor is younger than you, maybe you are in your 40s or 50s, your pastor is in his 20s. Now, when your pastor sees you, there is an honor that he has to give you as an elder. There's an honor you have to give him as a pastor for the call of God upon his life. That's just proper order. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? So there is an honor that is due all men. So first of all, honor all men because Jesus honored them and valued them to the point that he died for them on the cross. If men are so worthless the way you think they are, Jesus wouldn't give his life for them. So people are naturally worthless.
And I want to just digress a little to say to you, you are not worthless. You are valuable. Jesus thinks you are valuable. That's why he gave his life for you. I don't care what has happened to you or whatever you've been through. You are not as useless as you have taught yourself to be. You are something to God. The Bible talking about how we are created. He said we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, the Bible said that before, the psalmist said that before God formed him, God knew him. So God, nobody's an accident of intercourse. God took time to form you. He took time to make you. And that's when I see people on the street, no matter how stupid they are, you just treat them with honor, with respect, with dignity. Now here, notice what I have not said. I have not said you honor men because they are good or because they are honorable. You honor them because of the honor God placed on them. That's all. Because if you begin to honor men because they are good, you're going to dishonor many. There are many foolish people on the street. You get the point? Now somebody said, what said, world has many, there are many idiots on earth. And this world is programmed in a way that you meet at least two of them every day. Hallelujah. At least on social media, on Facebook. Meet at least two every day. Hallelujah. So if it's about how people are, you are not going to respect them. You're not going to honor them. But it's because of the value that God has on them. That's why you confer the same value to them. That's also why we preach the gospel to all men. That's why we preach the gospel to all men. Such that you do not look at anybody and think he's not deserving of salvation. Everyone is deserving of salvation because God himself honors them. And that's why I must realize that when you come, I want to say this again, when you come to church, you know, we treat everybody in this church with maximum respect, courtesy. Good evening. You're welcome. You know, so that you don't begin to think that we'll treat you that way because you are so special. There's no reason. Yeah, you're special, though. But okay, let me say what I said. Do not think we treat you that way because you are better than everybody else. It's just because God values you. And my counsel to you is that as we are treating you that way, treat us that way too. So when we just respect your good evening, you're welcome. You too reciprocate. That's a sign of a trained person. Someone you do not know from Adam, both of you don't know yourself, you meet the person, and the person decides to honor you and respect you and say, good evening, sir. You do not know you should return this, sir. You don't say, yeah, good evening, my boy. God help you. God help you that person is not actually something. I see people that are something don't always look like those things. I have many stories to tell you. Now, one of the things I try to do when people interact with me, I've had many cases of people come back to say, Jesus Christ, are you the Pastor Henry? I'm sorry for the way I answered you. It's always like that. Don't always come out of that kind of thing. Because most of the time you see me outside here, I greet you normally. Good evening, how are you doing? You are pastor. Did I have been thinking of me? When I said it, your face looked somehow. I know I've seen your face somewhere. So I asked one of them and said, if imagine if I was not Pastor Henry. Which human being deserves that treatment? Which human being? Which human being deserves that treatment you gave? Imagine if I'm not Pastor Henry. Thank God I'm Pastor Henry, you know Pastor. Imagine if I wasn't. Are you following me? So honor to all men. Now take it further to say, you must honor people. You must honor kings and people in authority. You must honor kings and people in authority. This is the part of the teaching that many believers do not like. But I'm going to say it. I'm going to teach it. Say amen. You must honor kings. Who are the kings? The king in your village, not king in church. The king in your village. Praise God. You must honor the president, the governor, right? Your local government chairman. Say amen. Amen. And people in authority. This includes people in authority in your workplace, your manager, your boss. There is an honor that they deserve that is just proper for a Christian to give them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Please open your Bible. I want you to see it by yourself. Because I know many Christians, especially in our woke generation, and especially because we have leaders in our country who are not so good. actually. He says, I thought yourself should honor people. He said, I said I'm not so good. Saying the truth is not dishonor. I'm coming to that. Why leaders who are not so good? Yes, we understand that. So how should a Christian behave? We're going to touch that today. How should a Christian behave? How should a Christian honor a leader, political leader, who is not doing well? A boss, who is not acting well? But the Bible says we should honor. Look at that. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evil doers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Go to verse 13. Let's look at it with New Living Translation. Now, it says, for the Lord's sake, submit to all human authority, whether the king as head of state or the officials he has appointed, for the king has sent them to punish those who do wrong and to honor those who do right. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love the family of believers. Fear God and respect the king. You who are slaves must submit to your masters with all respect. Do what they tell you. Not only if they are kind and reasonable, but even if they are cruel. Now, I wanted to see what I'm trying to show you. As an honor that every king, every leader deserves. So, but they are not called in the fivefold ministry. That's what we are saying exactly. So every institution, you're a student, the leadership of your school, leadership at your workplace, that's an honor they deserve. The question is, why? Why do we have to honor them? Did you miss it? Go to that 1 Peter 2 verse 13. It says, start verse 13, King James, please. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Why? For the Lord's sake. Read it with NLT. NLT said, for the Lord's sake, submit all human authority. Are you following me? Aha. Amplified Classic said, be submissive to every human institution and authority for the sake of the Lord. So it is not actually that you should honor them because of them, but because of the Lord. And what does he mean by that? We'll comment that very shortly. Submit to them because of the Lord. And I love the Passion translation of that verse 13. He said, in order to honor the Lord, you must respect and defer to the human authority, to the authority of every human institution, in order to honor the Lord. And so one of the ways you honor the Lord is that you honor considered authority. Are you following me? So that by the time we get to talking about honoring your pastor, you will see why it is very important. You see, these people are not even believers. Some of them are not even Christians. Yet God said you must honor them because they are an authority. Not to talk of when you now come into the church, talk of belief. Now, this is a leadership that God himself did not directly put in place. You see what follow I'm talking about? God did not directly make people president. People voted and became president. In a sense, God is their God's minister. We're going to get to that very shortly. But God didn't directly make them leaders. Think of the church where God, where he said, I will give you pastors after my own heart. So if God wants you to honor people he did not directly put in place, think of how he expects you to honor people that he now put in place by himself. Well, we'll get to that, but not today. Are you following me? So you honor people for the Lord's sake, not necessarily because they are good. Not because they are good. Not because they are perfect. And you know, one thing that struck me when I was thinking about this verse is that Peter was writing to a set of Christians who were being persecuted by the same people in authority. Because by this time, the church was under severe persecution by the government of the land. Yet Peter is saying you must honor them. Are you following what I'm talking about here? Well, I wanted to understand what I was saying. You must honor them. You must honor them. Now, even though
They are punishing you. They are persecuting you. He said, honor them. What does God want to achieve with that? See verse 15. What does God want to achieve with that? For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So that by the way you conduct yourself, it will be so clear to everybody that the only reason they are punishing these guys is because they are believers. Nobody is going to fault you. Say, they are punishing them because they disobeyed. They are punishing them. He said, be a proper Christian. Obey whatever. So by the time they are punishing you, it will be clear to everybody that the only reason they are punishing these people is because they are doing church. It's what I'm talking about here. So that in your workplace, you don't become very recalcitrant and claim that they are punishing you because you're a believer. You come late to work, and then they say, you're not going to service this evening. You're not going to permit to go for service this evening. After all, you walked in late this morning. He says, because I'm a believer, you're punishing me. You were late in the first place. Is someone following you? It's getting hotter. Let me show you a scripture. Romans 13 from verse 1. Romans 13 from verse 1. Hallelujah. This teaching on honor. So I say it again. Every time we talk about honor, it's not only about what you do in church. It's not about honor your pastor, honor your spiritual mother. That's not just that. There is honor you give to everybody. Look at this. Let every soul be subject unto higher powers. This is where it gets interesting. He said, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, that is very interesting. So, even the leadership of your country is God ordained. Now, hear this. That doesn't mean they are God. Hear what I'm going to say. That doesn't mean it is God that supported their leadership. It doesn't mean that everybody that emerges leader is the will of God. That's not what it means. But that position of leadership is God ordained. So anyone that is in that position has stepped into a place where he's doing something for God. What I mean is this. It is the will of God that there is order in Enugu State. And one of the ways that that order exists is that there is the office of the governor. Now, anybody that gets into that office, however he or she goes into that office, has stepped into something that God wants to happen. God wants order in the land. Are you following what I'm talking about? And so you just honor them. Now, see the next verse. He said, whosoever therefore resisted the power, resisted the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, for rulers are not a terror to good works. So when he says resist them damnation, he's not talking about hellfire. He's saying if you resist the leaders in power, they're going to come against you. Because they are not a threat to good works, but to the evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have the praise of the same. Verse 4. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Who did he call minister of God now? Who is the minister of God? Look at that verse now, because I know you are not happy. Somebody is saying, sir, use another translation. It's another translation. He's just King James writing this. He's writing. Don't worry, I use another translation. I'm coming. Now, first he called the minister of God. He said, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. Again, for he is the minister of God. So how many times now? Two times. A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 5. He said, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Verse 6. I'm coming to this. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. For they are God's ministers. How many times now? Three times. So in case you think that Paul made a mistake, that was a slip of the tongue, they are God's ministers. So what I'm trying to say, I'm not saying that in the fivefold ministry. What Paul is just trying to say, that is something that doing that God wants to be done. I said it again, I'm going to show you, God wants order in the land. In fact, before I come back to, we'll come back to this, but go to that 1 Peter 2 verse 13. There's something we did not read. 1 Peter 2 verse 13. Give me the Message translation. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. No, there's a verse. There's
The translation I'm looking for, that is message, but not that your message. Okay, well, you are right, actually. Let's continue. Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. Next verse. For they are what? God's emissaries for keeping order. That's what Paul was saying, that they are ministers of God. They help bring order to the land. So that is something that did for God, because God loves order, even in countries. And it's the duty of the leaders in the land to bring order. So that's why Paul calls them God's ministers. Are you following what I'm talking about? So we're not trying to say that being a president, that you are called of God. It's not a calling. But because that ordinance is what God wants, God wants that order. The person who is enforcing that order is the minister of God. Is someone doing something for God at that point. So you respect it. Go back to Romans 13. Let's see with New Living Translation. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all the authorities comes from God. And those in positions of authority have been blessed there by God. Verse 2. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear in people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? He said, do what is right and they will honor you. The authorities are God's servants sent for your good. But if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid. For they have the power to punish. You already seen one way to honor authorities. Just do right. Obey the God's authority. Do right. So when you're talking about honor authority, we're not talking about, you know, you sending seeds, I honor you, sir. You are seeing answers already. Do what is right in the land. Such that you do not steal. If they say, oh, don't smoke. India hemp is illegal. Stay away from it. Don't go and pick it and say that punish. They will kill you. They will arrest you. Do what is right. That God's servant sent for the very purpose of punishing those who do what is wrong. Next verse. So you must submit to them not only to avoid punishment, but also to keep a clear conscience. It's not just about avoiding punishment, but as a believer, you need to keep serve God with a clear conscience. I get what I'm saying. So they are just doing what is right. Doing what is right. You know what I've found out is there is something about Africans and how we like to disobey anything the government says we should do. We don't like it. I don't know whether it's because we are angry that are not doing well, but it's just there. Sometimes, even things that are for your own good. Any authority, you know, I was telling you guys right there, we got on a plane and instruction in the plane is, before you go, fasten your seatbelt, turn off your phones, or put them on flight mode. Some people refused. Every time I fly, I want you to wonder, what is wrong with people? Put your phone, the person will hide the phone. Now, while you're on air, nobody can call you. That is the point. You can't even get any message. But they will hide it. Instead of putting off that phone, or put on airplane mode, they will leave it and hide it. You know why? That is something he knows that just wants to disobey anything authority. You know, during COVID, it was very interesting. They were arresting people for not wearing nose mask. Something that is for their own good. So they will wear, when they see police, they will wear it. When they leave, they will remove it. What the hell? What's your problem? Now, it's for your own good, though. Just like seatbelt. Drive a seatbelt. No, not you. It can never be you. When you see road safety, you drag it and put. Once road safety is going to remove it, who do you think you are doing? It's just a mark of honor. But Paul is saying, it's not only that you are avoiding punishment, to keep a clear conscience. A clear conscience. Now look at verse 6. Glory to God. He said, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. Glory to God. Are you learning something? So, you know, why do you obey, honor, consider authority? One is for the Lord's sake. Two, because they are ministers of God. They are serving the Lord in what they are doing. And you already see one of the ways to honor them. Pay your tax. Pay your tax. Are you following me? A business owner here, pay your tax. As an individual, if you have to pay your tax. You see, I know that the leaders are not always very perfect. And I'm going to come to that before we close. I know sometimes they don't use the tax for the right reason. I know sometimes they miss up. I know all those things you want to see. But always remember that two wrongs will not make a right. That's the truth. Now you do yours. Just like what I tell you in church here. What if a pastor, my pastor gives me an instruction that is not from God? What if he misses the leading of the Spirit? Should I still obey him? Two wrongs don't make a right. Now, if you rebel against your pastor because he has done something you think is wrong. Now, not wrong as but morally wrong. I mean, you think you're supposed to be preaching at Obiago, but your pastor says, go preach at Sixth Avenue. You say, no, I think the Lord is leading me. Even if your pastor got it wrongly, you've also committed sin because you've disobeyed. Two wrongs will not make a right. So what will God do? If you walk in obedience, God will bless you for your obedience. God will judge the pastor for his disobedience. But if you disobey, God will judge both of you for disobedience. So while you're saying are they using our tax for the right purpose? Well, you pay it first. You pay it first. So that tomorrow when they come to fight you, you will not be able to, you will not say, the reason that I do this is because I'm born again. Because I'm a Christian. It's because of that sticker I put on my door. That's why they're fighting me. Maybe not. Now, can they fight you for that purpose? Yes. But it has to be very clear that that's why they're fighting you. You know, when you look at this, the conduct of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Babylon, they looked for a way to fault Daniel. They didn't see. The only reason they arrested him was because he was praying. That's the only thing they could find against him. They had to make a law against prayer to be able to get him. I know what I'm talking about. He was under a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar, a pagan king. But he so lived according to the laws that they knew the only way we would get this one is when we go against his faith and beliefs. And that's honor. Is one following me? Now, another way you honor government authorities, for instance, is to not speak irreverently about them. Whether in secret or in private or in public. Then that governor is very mad. That governor is very stupid. Now, listen to me. Can you criticize government leaders? Yes. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm going to show you in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing. Can you say they're not doing well? But it doesn't mean you begin to insult and call them animals, idiots. No, you don't do that. It's not the character. Even if you become a journalist, a Christian journalist, or all this, you know, whatever you want to be, just write against people in authority. There's nothing wrong with that. But not in an irreverent way. You cannot possibly look at a president and say, that one is all there. He's mumu. Do you know how old he is? Let's start with that. Honor due to all men. Let's start with that first. I get what I'm saying. That's honor due to all men. You can say, well, that policy, I don't, you know, I talk like that here sometimes. I can tell you, I don't like that policy. That doesn't make sense. I'll tell you what I want to say, but there's a way to say it. I give you an example. In Acts chapter 26, verse 25, Paul was standing before Festus. Paul was standing before Festus, and Festus looked at him in the previous verses and looked at him and said, so much learning has made you mad. He called Paul a mad person. Now, Paul was not going to accept that he's mad, because a believer in Christ is not mad. So Paul was going to set the record straight that he's not mad. I get the point. Look at that. He thought speak for himself. Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. Not like you see, Paul, in our poala. You are very, very stupid. This has to help some of you in your workplace. Where they talk to you carelessly. You are very mad. Honor does not mean you cannot voice out. But look at how Paul did that. Verse 25. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus. See the honor accorded, and yet the point was made. I know what I'm saying. Most noble Festus, sir, your excellency, sir, I am not mad. Are you following me, friends? Yeah. Give me a translation of this. Most noble Festus.
like NLT. He said, Paul replied, I am not insane. Most excellent Festus. I'm not denying your status, but that one you said is wrong. I am not mad, but you are still most excellent Festus. That's honor. Such that you can criticize the government for what they do without having to insult. Now, do you know sometimes imagine, because you know you're going to be big tomorrow. Imagine it's your brother tomorrow that is the governor. And let's even assume sincerely he's not doing well. Let's assume your father is the governor and he's really not doing well. Now, how will you feel? You will feel bad if you hear people sitting around saying the governor is doing very poorly. That is that part. But imagine you hear them saying, that mumu we kept in government house. That idiot. Imagine I'm talking about your father like that. Let's even assume he's really not doing well. Are you what I'm saying? That is it. That idiot in the government house. Don't worry. Let next come, we remove him. That one with his big head and his big eyes. Like what? Imagine. You really fail to realize these people are also human beings who have families. Now, do I criticize political leaders in my space? I do it a lot. If you're not doing well, you're not doing well. He says, why do you criticize them? The day you came out to contest for election, you opened yourself to public criticism. That's why you came to contest. So I can criticize you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So I'm not saying Christians should not talk politically. You know, when a president is doing bad, you say, well, God said we should honor him. He's doing well. Mm-mm. Go read your Old Testament. The prophets of old spoke up against political leaders. They did. They did. But we must do so honorably. 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 Even if you have a message from the Lord to deliver political leaders, there must be some sense of honor in how you deliver it. Are you following me? You don't speak irreverently. You don't insult. Look at how Nathan brought that message to David. You know what David did again? David slept with Bathsheba and killed Uriah the husband. He just came by a parable and said, my king, this and that happened. There was a certain man. And after the king spoke, he said, the king, it is you. Because you've dishonored the Lord and all of that. You know, there is a way to even talk. Imagine Nathan had entered the house of David. Maybe with his back. Just turned and said, you! You know, how will you talk? You know, some prophets of old acted that way, actually. Right? They did. But then with being a Christian and with the life of God in you, there's nothing wrong with speaking truth to power if you're in that position. If God is our influence at a certain point in this city, and there are things going wrong, and I have to speak up against as a pastor, and God allows me, I will. So that if I do, you will not be surprised. I thought he said we should honor people. I will speak up against it. But it will be done honorably. So that when they want to fault you, they will fault you just because they don't like the message you passed to them, and not because of how you passed it. Are you know what I'm saying? That they will not say, we are going to arrest him because he said the president or the governor is an idiot. Or because, you know, people, I've heard people even insult political leaders and call them. You know, there was a case, say, that man is a pedophile. He may not even know the meaning of the word pedophile. They now arrest him. Or he approved that the governor is a pedophile. But he just say what comes to the compu. You know, people just say what comes to their mind. Problem is that if that president is standing before you, the day you will stand before a governor, your speech will finish. It's because of the 30 naira data. That 30 MP cannot speak before a governor. Or that local government chairman, you cannot talk. But if you're going to criticize, but you know, I can say a person is not doing well. If I meet the man, so you say, I say, well, I said you are not doing well. You are not really doing well. Look at that road. It's not done. Look at this. We are just demanding from. We want you to do more for us. Once there is that conversation. But imagine, idiots, your mother, there's all people are even older. Do you know how old our political leaders are? Now, Nigeria is a nation where the leaders, the youth are not the leaders of tomorrow. So if you know how old these leaders are, you will be afraid. They're older than you. Let's start with that. So you have to repent. You know, I'm saying this because by next year now, it will begin to heat up. We're approaching election year. I will just be saying everything that comes to your mind, insulting. You can have your sincere opinion about politics, and nobody's going to fault you for that. The Bible is not against that. But you must do that honorably. Honorably. I'm going to ask you again. If it was your brother that is the governor, and he's not doing well, how will you talk to him? As a good Christian, I don't expect you to go and start clapping for your brother. But I don't think you'll meet your brother and say, "Dear brother, you're an idiot. Are you going to do that?" I get the point. I won't do that. Unless the idiot is playing. You know that they play idiots, they call in families. But you cannot seriously meet your brother and say, "You are an idiot. Foolish boy." You can't do that. But you can tell him, I said, "See, you promised this guy. You said there will be water. You're not seeing it. People are talking. Go out there. People are complaining. That's, you know, get the point. You're criticizing." Are you following this? Now, this is proper home training. Remember how I started? There is a kind of person that you must be becoming under God. Yeah. And I'm trying to show you. So you have to really change. Some of you have to readjust. How else do you honor your political leaders? I've mentioned obeying constitutional authority. So first I said you pay your tax. That's Romans 13 verse 6. So I'm saying you don't speak irreverently about them or to them. Thirdly, I'm saying, not in any particular order, I'm saying obey and respect constitutional authority, instructions of, from the government, all that. Oh, tomorrow is sanitation. Nobody should come out. Why are you coming out? Stay at home. Stay home. What's the point I'm trying to prove? Obey just constitutional authority. That's an instruction from the government that is not against your faith. That is not going to fight your faith or what you stand for. Why won't you obey it? Why won't you obey it? Are you following me? Are you following me? There is red light. There is green light. Wait for the green light before you move. Obey that. Obey that. Are you following what I'm talking about? Just consider authority. Your license has expired. Get another one. These things are not hard. Say amen. You know, there are some times where you've done everything. Say, because sometimes you do everything, police still wants to intimidate you. This is Nigeria and we know it happens. But let it be that when people come around there and they say, pastor, I don't want to talk to you like this. When they listen to the whole story, they will look at the policeman and say, even yourself, are you mad? Now, there was a particular case. They kept asking one woman for everything. They asked her for road safety. Asked her for this. She gave them. Asked her for this. Asked her for everything. Asked her for first aid box. She brought it out and showed them. They began to ask her for things one by one. In the first box, she had everything until they said, "Where is razor blade?" And she didn't have it. They say, "I followed her to the station." What they didn't realize is that woman was a very high-ranking official in Nigeria, but she was just playing along with them. So then they say, "I followed her to the station." She said, she pulled up her phone and made a call. They lost their jobs on the spot. On the spot. And at that time, when people hear the story, they say, you people serve. I feel I'm talking about. Now, but there is a case where you're looking at the fact that, you know, there is nothing, you don't have anything, you don't have a set, but you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have anything. You don't say that just intimidating you. Because, you know, a few years ago, we were shouting, police brutality. Well, there was police brutality, there is still police brutality. But half of what people called police brutality were not brutality. They were just doing their jobs. Half of people shouting against police brutality, we are really Yahoo boys. I'm telling you for real. And they were at fault. We must know what we are fighting. Are you following what I'm talking about? Some of them say, police is just doing that. Sometimes the police is right. Now, is that police intimidation? Yes. Is that right? No. Is that police brutality? No. Yes. Is that right? No. But sometimes too. Sometimes some of those people are actually at fault. Actually at fault. Are you following what I'm saying? So when the whole NSAS thing broke out all over the internet, people that were even at fault took advantage of that. And did you observe? Immediately the police left the street for some time.
crime increased. Didn't you observe it? I want to close this. Crime multiplied. It multiplied. Now I have to tell you that even though the police need some reform, you cannot say they are very useless. Because they are not. They are not. So such, conduct your life as a Christian in such a way that if you are ever intimidated, it will be clear to everybody that this is an intimidation. And if you take the matter up anywhere, they will know that you overdid this. But not that you are always at fault. Once we just start shouting, the police have killed us in this country. Are you really? Are you okay? Are you okay? I mean, did you not default in any way? In fact, let me tell you, most of the things people call it police intimidation, say, police, Yahoo boys, all of that. The police, we are wrong. Yahoo boys, we are wrong. Let me tell you how the police, we are wrong. Because the police will get some of those Yahoo boys and find out that some of them were Yahoo boys and take money from them on the street. That's where they were wrong. They should have charged them to court and they'll go to jail. Because, you know, the problem is, we actually do not want a working country. I hope you know this. You want Nigeria to work. If Nigeria works, many things will be different. Because in a working system, you don't catch a criminal on the road and then get money from him and let him go. You take him to the cell, charge him to court, they will judge him and send him to jail or set him free. If we go by that, you will know that. Glory to God. Be a proper Christian. Be a proper person. Now, are there places that you can default? I know such things exist. Okay, we're not preaching sinless perfection. But at least make an effort to obey the constant law of the land. Make an effort. Are you following me? Make an effort. Such that, it's just like when COVID came, they said everybody should, your social distancing and all of that, get into your house. We all went into our houses. But I want to say that there are things you do such that when you begin to disobey certain things because of your faith, everybody will understand you. When some states now started saying markets can open, schools can open, but church should be shut, we now say no. I get what I'm talking about. Because COVID, is COVID not in school and the market? How can it be in church, not in market? We now say no, we're going to come out. I'm trying to show you there is a place for, because I'm already getting into that already, there is a place for standing your ground when there are instructions from the government, okay, that are against our Christian faith. In such cases, you can stand your ground. But even in doing that, you must do that honorably. That's honorably. So in your workplace, there are instructions that come. Everybody should come to church, to come to work early. That's not too hard. Come to work early. If you are lazy, they should discipline you. They should discipline you. Then I'm saying everybody must dress corporately. Dress corporately. But when your MD now says, well, we need all of you ladies here to be hot in this office, make sure your skirt is here. You have to be hot. You can tell them, my skirt will not be here. You know that I've seen firms like that too, where the boss will make it very clear. We need you guys to be very hot. I was talking to a young girl. She told me the boss literally told them, do everything to get this client. So what do you mean? Do everything. Sleep with him if you must. They told them plainly. And that's a good place to stand your ground. And say, most noble Festus. Most noble Festus. We will not do that. Glory to God. Yeah, that's a place, because when we're talking about honor, we're not attempting to make cowards out of Christians. I feel like I'm talking about. I'm not saying you should just be cowardly and anything they bring, you say, oh, I'm an honorable person. That's not honor. It means you can stand your ground when that issue is against your faith and against what you believe in. You can stand your ground and insist on what you want, but do that respectfully. You know, in Acts chapter 4 and verse 18, they called the apostles and they threatened them and warned them. Bible said they called them and commanded them not to teach, not to speak at all,
nor teach the name of Jesus. Stop talking about this Jesus. Now look at the answer in verse 19. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, he said, judge ye. Verse 20. He said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have heard, which we have seen and heard. Verse 21. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. Now look at that. Finding nothing how they might punish, they did not see any reason. Because the case they were talking about, they raised a cripple. The person that was crippled was there. People were glorifying. The person that was crippled was there. People were glorifying God. They looked at them. These guys have nothing. Just that they are preaching in this name. So when they threatened them to stop preaching, they boldly but politely told them, we are not going to do that. Because which is right? To preach, to listen to you, or to listen to God? We cannot speak but speak of the things we've seen and the things we've heard. So they insisted on what they were going to do. But they did it politely. Is someone following me this evening? So there is a place for standing your ground, that in your workplace or in your school, they begin to give instructions. Maybe in class, there is departmental president, there is this, there is lecturer. When they say you should pay departmental this, you pay. When they say you should do this, you do. But then, when they now say, we're going to contribute money to sort this lecturer, stand up and say, most noble Festus, I'm not going to contribute. I will not sit on lecturer. Now, in that case, you are being very honorable. Now, I don't expect you to get up and start saying, nonsense, people. We came to this school to read people and sorting people. That's not the point. But stand your ground. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Then when I was in school, they organized a party. A real party. Right? And they said everybody must attend. Everybody. Now, I say, but I think it's just badminton night. It was a party. All night party. And I was not going to attend it because I told them. So at the time, they wanted to make sure they involved a certain lecturer in the department who said that anyone that attended, that when they come for the party, that they should write names of people that came for the party. People don't know me. I told the man to his face, I said, sir, you know me. I'm not going to attend the party. So take my name already. I'm going to attend the party. Sir, I thought they should be honorable. I'm just telling you how honorable I was. Yes. And I was in class one day, and the lecturer was teaching. And also, one of these lecturers that just like to say derogatory things about the name of the Lord. They were just mocking and mocking. They kept doing that. I was just keeping very calm. And I did it to a point. I just felt the spirit of the prophet rise within me. And I stood up. I said, excuse me. The whole class shouted, hey, because of course, the pastor was about to talk. I said, sir, that is not true. And I really think you should just focus and teach us what you came to teach us and leave this class. Because you are delving into a section that is not your business and you really don't know much about it. I said, I sat down. He said, okay, they said I should teach. Let me teach. I said, yes, teach. Now, I'm trying to show you. I'm not trying to say you should become one coward. But I'm not even a coward. I said what I want to say. It's been like that from my school days. My secondary school days, there was somebody, I wasn't even as wise as this. This guy, you know, these teachers that once they come into class, every joke is about women. Women's buttocks. Women's, the whole class will be laughing. Then he will cry joke about women. Then he will cry joke about church. He might see somebody sleeping and say, all the car, these people, in the Holy Ghost fire. She went for Holy Ghost fire all night. He just kept making all those jokes about church and about women. And making jokes about, and even women were laughing at the joke. I wasn't finding it very funny. So I kept a very straight face. I remember, man, I'm not going to laugh at this joke. No matter what you do, I will not laugh. So he came to me and said, this one I'm not laughing. And I said, because I'm talking what doesn't concern you. No, don't be like that. I'm not telling you my school days. It doesn't concern you. It's not a business. You know what I was confident about? If they carry both of us to the school management and they say, what did he do? Why are you beating him? I'll say, yes, sir. What did I do? Than what I did, because I don't know how you can express what I did. And it must, you know, I'm not saying you should come into a place and you are so cowardly, but even when you stand for your faith, do it with much honor, do it with much respect, much dignity in your heart, so that the only reason people can fault you is because of your faith. And as I'm going to close, I'm going to say to you, in your workplace, I'll give you three reasons. I'm quickly we do that. Three things that will happen when you begin to honor authorities in your workplace, and all of that. One is that it will bring honor to the name of the Lord. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1. Have you been blessed? Say, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. Be not blasphemed. So that is a way you will relate with your boss in your workplace. The name of the Lord will be blasphemed. What that means is they'll begin to say things like, are these even the Christians? Look at verse 2. It says, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren. This is very important. He's saying, if your boss, maybe your boss at your place of work is a church member, he's saying, do not despise them or become unserious because he's a church member. What can they do? We are brethren in Christ Jesus. You know, many church people do this thing I'm saying. If you are working for a random manager you don't know, you'll be at work early. But when the person that employed you is maybe a pastor in church or a brother in church, you can walk in anytime and say, sorry, sir, yesterday we had Zoe. That's Zoe. Fire was falling, so I couldn't come. Also, that you even walk in and you assume we should understand at him that does he not know we have Thursday service today? He doesn't know. If you're going to be around for Thursday service, then you're going to take proper permission to be absent from work. Are you following what I'm talking about? Go to the previous verse. Give me New Living Translation. Let's read together, everybody. Are you ready? Now, when he uses the word slaves here, he was talking in the context of slave trade, but we're using this to teach employee-employer relationship. Is that okay? So let's read together. All slaves should show full respect to their masters so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. So that is the way you behave in your place of work. You bring shame to God's name. If you're not a person of honor, you're bringing shame to the name of the Lord. But somebody's wondering, why are we teaching this honor, this thing in church? Oh, teaching us how to obey traffic law in church. But there are things you are going to do. You bring shame to God's name. Are you following what I'm saying now? You go to your workplace, you are the last to come to work. Once you come to work, they close the door. They say submit report. You are the last. Once your report enters, all the reports have come. You're just the last in everything. You are bringing shame. And notice the first place they will attack is church. They say, and she's even a church person. That's the first place they will attack. He said, so that you don't bring shame to the name of the Lord and his teaching. Next verse, verse 2. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. It's no excuse. Better learn it. Because I'm running the kind of church system where believers are employing believers. People can literally employ you in this church just because you're a church member. You don't need any CV. They just look at you and say, I know you're in church. Come work for me. Even if that's the case, you can't be very stupid. Just because they're church members. Say, those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well loved. He said, teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. So I'm teaching these things and I'm making sure you obey them. That way, you get your workplace, that's the way to behave. That's the way to act. You go to your class, that's the way to act. I said everyone must dress this way in class. That's where you try to, the day you start to dress that way. Everyone must do like this. That's where you try to do the other one. Why are you like that? You know what I like and has been happening, and it should happen more. Best behaved student in class, a church member. Best committed worker in the office. We've had people win best staff of the month. I love hearing those things. The most punctual staff of the month. You'll be a church member. Let them not be giving you the most unserious member. You're working, especially when people already know you're a believer. Make sure you represent that name. Let me tell you, if you are working in a place and people already know you're a believer, you have two responsibilities. Apart from your work, you now have an extra duty to protect the name of the Lord in that place. By how you conduct yourself. To protect the name of the Lord in that place. And it is by how you carry yourself at work. How you conduct yourself around work. There is a case of bribery in the office. They shouldn't find you there. But not just in cases of righteousness or sin. Also in cases of how you behave yourself. Come in early. Dress properly. Do your work well. Do your work perfect. Because listen to me. If you've worked in any firm, you would have known. There are people that just see you and hate you for being a Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? Just because you're a believer. They just see you. You know what is happening? The Holy Ghost in them, in you, is reacting with the evil spirits that they carry. And they just see you and hate you for that purpose. But you must do your work so well that it will be clear to everybody that there is no reason why you're hating this girl. Why are you hating this girl? She's the most punctual in this place. She does her work well. She delivers perfectly. She even takes initiatives. What else did she do to you? Let it be clear to all that the person is the one that is mad and not you. Are you following me? So first of all, when you walk in honor in your workplace, you bring in honor to the name of the Lord. Secondly, I'll just say two things and I'll close. Secondly, you are going to attract a lot of favor from men. When you walk in honor, you attract a lot of favor from men. From men. People who are just honorable towards all men and who do things properly, people naturally will favor them. Some will hate you because they feel you are overdoing, but it will bring you some kind of favor from men. And it's not even a spiritual thing. It's just there. I don't know, sometimes you go to buy things from shopping malls and they attend to you so well and you just want to give them money. Honor all men. You know, there's a story. You know, one day, I was last year, not back in the days, like last year. I thought we were planning our wedding, and that period was not funny. You know, one of the most angry people on earth are the people spending money. When you're spending money, you're not too happy. Oh, I was just planning our wedding, and I just gone to, that day I went in to buy a few things of like 200,000, and I just came out spending up to 700,000. So I was leaving the shopping mall, just putting things in my car. I was trying to drive out. Now, the security guys, they were trying to tell me to turn this way, turn this way. I didn't know what they were saying. I wasn't hearing them. The next thing I heard on my car was a big bang. Boy! I parked the car, I came out. I said, who hits that thing? Who hits that thing on my car? Don't ever try that again. Don't do that. Why will you hit my car like that? They were trying to talk to me. I just entered my car and I drove. I was my wife that day. And she just said, but babe, you know that's not exactly what happened. I said, what happened? She said, your boot was open. They just closed your boot. Oh, glory to God. And we had gone far when she told me that. I froze for some minutes. I said, is that what happened? I said, they should have told me. And I said, but I'll tend to tell you, I'm shouting. You know what I did? After going around the whole day, that thing happened in the morning. By evening when I was going back, I drove back to that place. And I went, immediately I came in, those security men saw me, they were already frowning their face. I walked close to them. I said, I really don't understand. I'm very sorry. They said they were very surprised. They said, sir, what did you come? I said, I just came to apologize to you guys. Said, I'm sorry. And they were like, what are you trying to tell? I said, I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry. I haven't given them money. They become my friends. If I'm entering that place, no matter who wants to drive, that person has to wait for me to pass. So I just told you this story to tell you that we can miss it sometimes. But when there is honor in your heart, you will get it right. Get the point? Just honor. Now, I don't know those men. I don't know whether they are this. I just know that because they are God's creation, they have to be honored. I've just spoken to them. I've just misjudged the situation. A lot of times you need to have a wife that can tell you such things. Our problem was, what I was shouting, when I talk about honor for your spouse, to get to that, she didn't come out to say, babe, that's not true. That's not what happened. Wait. Imagine that had happened. It just kept coming. I finished my drama. Like, I entered my car. I was not driving. Nonsense, people. He was just telling. He said, but babe, that's not exactly what happened, though. I said, what happened? What happened? Why are you not there? I said, your boot was open. They jammed it for you. I said, But they should have told me. He said, well, they were trying to tell you, you were shouting. at that moment, I didn't need God to speak to me. I knew what to do. I was talking about courtesy earlier. I knew what to do. When you wrong people, you go apologize to them. And if I had gone there that day, and maybe there was shifts, maybe people that were working in the morning had gone, I would have returned the next morning to make sure I apologize to them. So that tomorrow when they are walking past and they see a billboard and they see Pastor Henry, they can say, so this man is a pastor that wanted to kill us that day. And I'm trying to show you what relevant to this story is. It brings you favor before people. Anytime I go to that place, any kind of favor, once I'm done buying, they must come and collect everything I'm buying. Help me put it in the car. Of course, I give them money, sir. But it has remained like that. It has remained like that. When you're a proper Christian, when you learn how to honor people, it's not about their status. Honor people, honor the Lord. It's whatever you're doing to them, so to the Lord. One last scripture, please. One last scripture. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Have you been blessed today? Do you think this teaching is necessary? Glory to God. Colossians 3, verse 22. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Verse 24, he said, knowing that of the Lord. Okay, whatever you do, do it utterly as to the Lord and not unto men. Give me NLT. Verse 22. He said, walk willingly. Start from 22, please. He said, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time. Not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord. You see again, why do you do this? Because you honor the Lord. Not because of them. Verse 23. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. You know, verse 24. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance. You know, I was talking about favor. I think I just shared this story with you. I won't call names, but people that are close, we know who I'm talking about. One of our people here, working somewhere last year, and she came to me and said, the Lord has led her to, you know, leave her workplace. She wanted to leave her workplace. So after all of that, I said, okay, it's fine. So she tendered her resignation and began to prepare to leave. So, you know, by the time approaching when she was going to leave, one man, real life story, one man entered the place in this Enugu, and one old man who has been her customer for long, who she has attended to for a very long time, entered and said, I have something for you. I heard you are leaving. She said, yes. I said, wow, you've really attended to us well. I have something for you. I bought two of these. I just didn't know what to do with one. And gave her a brand new iPhone. When she told me that, I said, is he a young man? Is he checking you? Is he asking you out? You know, that kind of thing. And right there said, I want to make you an offer. My company is coming into this Enugu, and I want you to come work for me. The salary he offered was 3 times what she was earning there. Said, I've watched you in this place. I want you in my firm. So I'll make you this offer. If you are ready, give me an answer and come and work for me. The rest, they say, is history. No need for signing or... Of course, she brought her CV and all of that. But what brought that favor was just proper conduct in the place of work. Good morning. You're welcome. How are you doing? That was just this. And so it brings favor. The favor. Oh, the favor of God come upon me. Some of those favor, where you are an honorable person, it will bring you favor. It will bring you access. There are people that want to talk to me. They need me badly in their life as a pastor. But you know why they've not been able to get access to me? They're very dishonorable. You come in because of Facebook. You can talk to anyone on Facebook. Come to my DM. You want to get across to me. And first thing you say is, hey, bro. Or sup. Sup. We sup off your mouth there. Do you know all you have just costed is, good evening, sir. I want this, that. Simple. Now, you even want to respond. I get the point. And it won't cost anything to just be an honorable person. To live as God will have you live is a major mark of spiritual growth. Are you blessed? Let's stand to our feet and thank the Lord for revelation, for light, for understanding. Lift your voice and just thank Him.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.